I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Tech and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman, along with John Senecal. This is episode 55, sort of mopping up the floor after the World Series, which
we thought no one was going to watch, but apparently people were watching.
The ratings were decent.
Ratings are good.
I hate the Astros. I just hate them.
On behalf of Major League Baseball in America, thank you to the Atlanta Braves for proving once again that the only way that Houston can win is by cheating.
I think they cheated against the Red Sox. Who's that DH? He couldn't hit out of a paper bag in the World Series, and he was like the second coming of Big Poppy against the Red Sox. But I just want to take a quick step back. I mean, yeah, the Braves, listen, there's no doubt of who I was going to root for, even if I wasn't wholly passionate about. And the reason is, you and I are close enough in age. Like, when the Braves dominated in the 90s, they won over like a dozen straight NL East titles, but I think they only won like one. That team only won like one World Series.
Yeah. With Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz.
Yeah, all those
Chipper,
guys.
Chipper, Mark Lemke.
Andrew Jones. So here's Javi Lopez. And I hated that team because they were so boring, because you felt like
they
were going to be there every year and not win.
And you had to listen.
Before that was racist. And so I'm not even going to get into that conversation because I just don't want to spend time on that. I do enough political stuff in my day job. But what I would say is that, like, they just sort of soured me on the Braves. I just was not a fan. I didn't know if you had the same sentiment, but this is a much different time. It's a new stadium. They have not done what they haven't won since 95. So
no, they haven't won since then. And it's crazy that they have a new stadium. And the original stadium, well, not original, Fulton County was original, but then the next one, I guess, that the Olympics built, gone.
Right.
And it was at 96, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they win a World Series, get a stadium, and then they're on a new stadium in 2021.
It's weird because Atlanta is thought of a lot like Miami. It's just not a great sports town, right?
Right.
And because there were times, that was another thing that happened during that run in the 90s, where they wouldn't sell out playoff games.
No.
And because people just, you know, they're like, why spend money if they're not going to win? Or we're just so used to being here type thing, yada, yada, yada.
Do you know anybody that lives in Atlanta? I hear it's like awful. Like, the traffic is awful. Like,
it's got a big urban sprawl.
You can't get anywhere. It takes forever. It's like worse than Florida, driving in Florida.
I don't doubt it. But they won. And that is good for baseball, to be honest. And it was weird because you didn't hear much late in the series, but obviously they had the All-Star game and they moved it away from there because of the voting rights thing. But yet everyone was cheering for them to win the World Series.
But it's also the same thing. There was really no talk about the Astros cheating or anything like that either.
No,
You know, everyone was toeing the line and doing what they had to do.
So just quickly, put a ribbon on the series. So what did you think?
I mean, look, when we did our predictions, you said it was going to go 5 or 6, and we both thought that Houston would win. But I mean, obviously, you know, Houston's pitching that overperformed pretty much all season wore out. I mean, their bullpen the problem is when you're going to your bullpen every time in like the fourth inning, like your actual bullpen.
Right.
Like,
Something's got to give,
right? And Max Fried gave him the distance, you know?
Right. And he had not pitched well.
No, he hadn't pitched well, but he gave him what they needed, you know? And they showed comparisons to him and Glavin when they made their run in 95. But Glavin threw like 8 innings of one-run ball. You know, otherwise, you know, it was like one hit too, I think. But, you know, they were trying to compare
it
as best
they
could.
It wasn't in our rundown. I'm just going to let people know we're going to talk a little bit about the World Series, and we're going to talk about some interesting free agents coming out of the World Series. And then a little bit of Red Sox Yankees needs, and then John's got a nugget for us. But I might as well ask you this, because there was so much written and so much discussed during the World Series about how the way pitching is handled is ruining baseball. That somehow, which I never heard talked about before, like starting pitching being a priority, or like starting pitching lasting 5, 6, 7 innings, somehow is so important to the essence of the game. Do you feel like this way this is being run now is ruining the game?
I mean, it's ruining as far as, you know, what the standard, like you said,
the standard. I know it spits in the face of the standard. Yes, what do you think?
Well, it's a perfect example. Look at the Rays pitching burned out, the Astros pitching burned out, and it's basically the team that had the guy that could actually pitch, or a couple guys that could actually pitch. I mean, Morton, the guy pitched with a broken leg for an inning. You know, I mean,
so your point is the teams that still had bona fide starters ended up winning?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. I mean, you got to have someone that's going to pitch you at least into the sixth inning. I mean, gone are the days that Jack Morris is going to throw 10 innings and want the ball, 10 right. innings of shutout ball and want the ball. You know, it's just not going to happen anymore because they don't want to get somebody hurt.
So right? You don't think they need to legislate any changes into what's going on?
I mean, I would say they'd have to start looking at trying to get some guys as far as that can have some length. But at the same time, those guys should have length, but they're pulling the plug on them because they give up a run early. I mean, those guys should be able to pitch, right? But they're paranoid that the rest of it is not going to work, right? So they're yanking them after they give up two or three hits or like two runs,
right?
After two innings, where in the past they'd say grind it out, we'll come back because you're a good pitcher. Maybe they're not just good pitchers.
Right, but the whole approach is basically they don't want pitchers if they face a lineup a second time that's a little uneasy, and they almost never want you to have the same guy face the team
maybe
a third time through.
Maybe there's too much analyzing and overanalyzing everything.
But how do you change that?
Well, maybe there's just too much video evidence and all that. Where
what are you going to do?
You can grind out pitchers and know what they're going to be throwing, and you can't get through that
so
far.
What are you going to do, ban video
analysis? No, you can't. Maybe you just got to say, screw it, and we're going to go with guys, and you're not going to be so much of a starter anymore or our horse. You're just going to be our guy until you run out. If it's the third inning, the second inning, or whenever we feel like you're leaving, but you're never going to make $35 million a year doing that.
Fine, but they're still not going to go off the pattern of they don't want certain pitchers facing a lineup a second or a third time. So, like, what you're saying is sort of like pie in the sky.
So, you build a team around two guys that can go along, and everybody else is just guys that are going to be giving you three innings?
I don't know, but I mean, I think that you're looking at a game that's going to have basically essentially three starters.
Right.
And then you have the bullpen. So you're going to have one guy to face. And again, ideally, if they pitch well, you have one guy go one time through, another guy one time through, another guy one time through. You're at the seventh and you use your 7-8-9.
So basically.
And is that, my question to you is that, to me, that sucks.
Well, we've been talking about 7-8-9 for the last 5 or 6 years. And now I feel like it's more like 5-6-7.
Well, that's
eight,
my
nine.
Point is that you're going to have three starters and then 7-8-9. So, you're essentially going to average at least five to six pitchers a game.
It'd be an interesting way to do it, and then you could throw your starters literally every 2 days.
So
you're
okay with it?
I mean, that could revolutionize statistics, too. You could start having guys that could be winning three games a week.
Right,
then you couldn't do it because they wouldn't throw more than five innings.
Right.
So that wouldn't happen.
The 300-game winner is already pretty much out the door, but it would throw out a whole... It would render moot a whole bunch of statistical departments. But basically, you're okay with it. That's your take with it.
As a baseball purist, no. But, I mean, how are you going to stop it, like you said?
I don't know.
If your guy's going to pitch you the innings, you can still pay him, right? If over the course of the season, if Garrett Cole or whoever is going to give you 225 innings.
No, there wouldn't be as much a premium on pitching.
Well, then you're going to have to figure out.
Pitching values will go down.
Right, so it's going to have to start to wear out because you got some big pitching contracts out there.
Right, but eventually those will time out and you just won't sign people to more. I mean, let's face it, pitchers are not getting paid the way hitters are now anyway, and maybe the role of the pitcher is changing. Maybe the thing that's not getting discussed, maybe this is an evolutionary thing, and I don't actually say it as evolution because evolution sort of indicates progress. Maybe this is a progression of baseball, and I will never say, you know, it's bad or this. I think it's bad because I think the biggest problem with the product is the length of games, and it does not shorten games.
No.
And I still think that human error, like, I mean, pitchers and hitters, they got to be able to figure things out. And maybe the video side of it gives too much of an advantage to the hitters, but then the pitchers, you know, they've been wiping on their hair and their ass and whatever to get more grip on the ball.
And there's a lot of that going on, I feel like. A lot more wiping,
and more wiping, some say, in the ALCS than in the World Series.
As you were talking there, Brian, I'm thinking, you know, as a fan, right, I'm going to go to a game. I want to see, you know, my guy pitched, the big guy, right? So I'm going to go there, pay a big ticket, and he's going to go for three innings.
That guy doesn't exist anymore, is he?
Right. So. But there's some guys out there. Clayton Kershaw, obviously free agent, and he's hurt. But the Dodgers got everybody's got their guy, right?
But do they?
I mean, Gerrit Cole is around for the next few years, obviously. You want to see these guys pitch if you go, but what are you going to do? You're going to go and you see them throw to one round of batters?
What we saw was that it worked for Tampa to get 100 regular season wins. It did really well to some degree for Houston in the playoffs, and we'll just see. We'll
Atlanta
see.
Hit,
we'll,
though, man. Atlanta hit.
All right, listen. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I wanted to throw out three names, and quick, I need you to be sharp here and give me your take, whether it's Red Sox or Yankees. There have been articles I've seen in the last 24 hours for both for this guy. Carlos Correa, you want him?
No.
Okay. Why?
I just don't. I don't see him fitting. I just don't. I mean, contrary to whatever he has towed the line in his interviews in the last 3 weeks and changed his tone mightily.
Maybe because he wants to be a Yankee?
All right. You never know, right? So he's obviously a great talent. But I feel like you get him, you're going to get more of that Reggie Jackson vibe. Is that going to fit with the Yankee way? It might, because I feel like a lot of those guys, Aaron Judge included, as pale as he might seem, Jeter-esque as you would say, I still feel like he has some fire in him, and that could actually be something good. But
and it's a need. Shortstop is a need.
Absolutely, it's a need. And listen, statistically-wise, the guy's got a 6.6 WAR. He's 27 years old. He's in the prime of his career. He is not going to not produce. He's produced all the time.
But you still say no.
Big game situations. He's used to the big game. I say no because he doesn't fit.
Okay.
I'm not gonna go out and buy his jersey or whatever if he does show up as a Yankee. But what am I? I have to live with it, right?
All right. I'm assuming like Jorge Soler is a hard no because you already have Stanton.
Don't need Jorge Soler.
Okay. And you know what?
But then the alternatives at shortstop are, you know, Seager and Semien maybe, but they're both older, only by a year and 3 years.
Soler was fascinating. I didn't know he had like 48 home runs with KC just three or four
because
years
because he was
ago.
In KC.
Still 48 and 114.
I think he led the league.
That's a lot of home runs.
That year.
I think he's a no for the Red Sox as well. But then there's Freddie Freeman, who is like a great face of the franchise guy, does a lot of interviews to protect guys that don't. So like in Boston, like it makes it easier for a JD to stick around, not only because it protects him as a bat, but there's a lot of people, all my friends who were Atlanta fans, say there's no way they're going to let him go.
No, I don't see him leaving Atlanta. Obviously, listen, Atlanta's got money. I don't care what anyone says. They got money. They can spend it. They're making a boatload of money right now.
What do you pay a guy like that who's in his early 30s? You know, he's
going to want $20 million a year. You know that. He's going to want... He's a reigning MVP. He'll probably finish top 10 in MVP voting this year.
To me, like when you say 20 compared to what I've seen, depending on how many years, to me, that's not a... That's. I mean, JD's getting more than that.
So if you're Freddie Freeman...
JD can't field.
Right, but if you're Freddie Freeman, you're going to want a five-year minimum deal, right? Probably going to want six.
Okay, so if it's six, 120, if I was any team in baseball, I'd give him that.
You could six, 120 him, and on the back end of that deal, if you have
I think
to,
it's
going to
take
him.
More. I think it's going to take
you trade
more.
Him until
I think it's going to take more.
You think so? You think he wants $25 million?
I don't know. I just feel like he's the kind of guy in Atlanta, they want to guarantee, because I guess my point is that the Red Sox would pay six for 120 in a heartbeat for him.
Listen. Atlanta's got something working, right? If they can get Freddie Freeman back for 5 years at $20 million a year, 6 years for $20 million a year, they got Acuna through 2027.
Right.
Dansby Swanson signed at least probably for another 2 or 3 years. And they're not making a lot of money. Acuna's making $100 million over an 8-year contract.
And it's a crap salad division.
Listen, and they got good pitching. Freed's young. Soroka's going to come back. I mean, who knows what happened with Charlie Morton? I believe Charlie Morton didn't sign a 1-year deal. I think he signed a 2-year deal with them, so he'll be back.
But I don't think there would be like favorites to win the World Series, but they'd be favorites to make the playoffs
with Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley. Yeah. I mean, they have some great young talent on that team.
So I think it's going to take more than 6-120 only because that's a number that about 5 or 6 teams could absorb. So Atlanta's going to have to pay 10% over that to get him.
And let's
stay.
Be honest, so Freddie Freeman and Jorge Soler just boosted their value huge, right? Huge. Jorge Soler just made himself an extra $15 to $20 million on his contract.
I wasn't even paying attention to him before the last 2 weeks. So.
Right? That was his audition. And everybody knows what they're getting with Freddie Freeman, but Freddie Freeman has been a very silently great player. Very
silently.
It's
not even that. People like him, and he's a leader.
Yep.
And so I just feel like...
He's not going anywhere, dude.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He's not going anywhere.
All right, listen, let's do quickly. We're going to talk
Yankees
about
have a
this.
Better chance of winning up with Rizzo or the Red Sox.
I like Rizzo, too. I mean, I would take Rizzo. The Red Sox, I think, need something there. So, I mean, Rizzo, to me, would be an upgrade, even though I'm not willing to totally give up on Bobby Dalbec. Listen, just real quick, we're going to talk about this maybe 100 times over the next 4 months, but quick, give me two biggest priorities for the Yankees, and we'll do the same for the Sox.
Well, we already talked about the shortstop, right? Obviously, first base. Voit's not the answer, especially if you got DHs up the wazoo. I guess I would like Rizzo back. I got no problem with Rizzo coming back. Like we said, Freeman's probably not going to happen. Catching.
What do you give Rizzo? 4 years?
I think, well, same age, right?
Yeah, but he seems like he's got more tread.
Definitely not as good a player as Freeman. Probably better defensively. I mean, Freeman is definitely respectable defensively. Right. I say, you know, Rizzo, I think you could probably get. He's going to want minimum three. The Yankees aren't going to give him more than three. Maybe three and an option. 15 a year. 12. I think 12 to 15. 36 to 45.
Wow. I think, that, again, like maybe my numbers are skewed, but I feel like he gets more. But we'll see what happens, because I think the Red Sox could make a play there.
And then catcher, too. You know, I don't think Gary Sanchez is the answer. But, you know, what's out there unless you trade? They're not going to take on a big contract like Rio Muto. You can get a guy like Tucker Barnhart's a free agent. He's 31. I mean, there's not many free agents, catchers out there that have any sort of plus war. You don't want to, I mean, Zunino, he strikes out a lot. It is what it is with the catchers. But, I mean, Gary Sanchez, I do not think, if you're a Yankees fan, if you think he's our answer.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
So with the Red Sox, I believe that they need to figure out what the long-term answer is for Devers and for Bogarts, right? And they're in two different stages of their careers, but, you know, Bogarts probably merits at least a 5 or 6 year deal. And Devers, although I don't think he gets Fernando Tatis Jr. type money or years, he needs a mega deal if
when
he wanted
he a free
to stay.
Agent?
I think it's after next season.
So you could tread lightly with him, right? Because you don't know what you're going to, you know, you don't want to piss him off, and then he says goodbye and leaves. So maybe you can try to get him and sign him in the offseason to a long-term deal. And I mean, the problem with him is he's, like you said, he's going to.
So Devers is after the 2023 season. So he's got, right, they got 2 years.
But again, you know, maybe you can get him now for $20 million a year.
And then Bogarts can opt out at the end of next season. I mean, Bogarts showed some wear on the tread too, but he's such a great glue guy.
And Bogarts is what? He's 4 years older than Devers?
He's like 31 or something.
Oh, God. So he's like 6, 7 years older.
He's a little bit older.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the same
but
kind of
But they have
of
to
question.
Make decisions because, you know, if you deploy $250 million between the two of them, where does that leave you? And the Red Sox, if you haven't noticed, they like to make profits, right? They don't like to overspend. But what I want to say in terms of need, clearly first base is a problem. And then, you know, Christian Vasquez didn't play great. He, you know, last year he had good numbers and then it sort of trailed off. So I would even think an upgrade, if not with a number one catcher, at least with a number two, because Vasquez, as much as I like him, he did not produce in the same way. And I think that that's a problem. And pitching, we all know that everybody needs pitching. So it's kind of a silly argument.
I forgot about center field for the Yankees and Aaron Hicks. So, I mean, he's back. We can't get rid of him. I mean, he's got probably 4 more years left on his 7 year or whatever crazy deal. But I mean,
neither option is good, in my opinion, for the Yankees.
The problem with Hicks is, you know, he don't go away because he's a switch hitter and he's a plus defender. That's the problem. There's not many switch hitters in MLB, right?
Yeah, right.
So you're a premium. It's like that Jesse Orozco, you know? You stick around.
Yeah.
But then you wait till you get hurt.
I don't think he can last that long. he's John Sedek. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. We're going to wrap things up with a little, some nuggetude on Ian Anderson.
Yeah, so Ian Anderson, right? For people like you talk, Atlanta, you might not know about him, right? But he came to light in the World Series.
Sure.
What you don't know about Ian Anderson, so Ian Anderson, they'll say, is from upstate New York, and he is actually truly from the real upstate New York, which is Clifton Park, New York, the Capital District, as we call it, Albany area.
Okay, that's certified upstate.
Certified
not
upstate.
Not like Watertown.
No.
Watertown's real upstate.
Real upstate. Well, that's the Tug Hill Plateau.
It's got a different name.
I think that's what they call that, where they get all the snow. But anyway, so that's the region, the area that I'm from, and he went to Shenandoah High School, and Shenandoah is the Plainsman. Shenandoah is an Iroquois name.
So Shenandoah is not Shenandoah?
Shenandoah, not
okay.
Shenandoah.
Okay.
All right. And huge, huge, huge school district. Absolutely huge school district.
So was he a monster in high school?
So their school system produces, on average, graduating class, 20 NCAA Division I athletes.
Get out. For a public school?
For a public school. It's one of the largest public school districts in the country. They got 229 teaching staff, 3,163 on average enrollment.
That's a big school.
Yeah. So there's about 800 to 1,000 in the graduating class. The campus is on 232 acres.
It's a public school.
Public school in Clifton Park, New York, which is north. It's near Saratoga, near the racetrack for anybody geographically, not too far from there, Saratoga Raceway. Now, I'm from the town of Niskayuna, which is just on the other side of the river, and these were our rivals. Now, not as big a school.
Right.
Niskayuna was 1,300 students total. Now, we played each other, but they call it the Suburban Council. Now it's like the New York State something regional double A. They're in like the biggest school district class in New York State. So when you win a state championship, you're the real deal.
Right,
and they've gotten state championships and like everything. So Ian Anderson led them to a state championship in a class double A in 2016. Now my nephew won the MVP of that league as a senior that same year. Tyler Senecal, he was the MVP of the Suburban Council that year.
Did he go on to play your nephew?
He went to play college ball and then left after a year getting sick and other issues. So he played, never batted against him, but they play in the same league against each other.
That's cool.
So,
and then Anderson went on to be the third overall pick.
Third overall pick, 2016. And the crazy other thing is now he's got a twin brother named Ben.
Ben Anderson,
who's a pitcher in the Texas Rangers organization. He was drafted the same year as Ian in the 26th round by the Blue Jays, went to Binghamton University, which is in the southern tier of New York. And then he wound up getting drafted in 2019 by the Rangers.
Wow, that's two kids in the family.
Yeah, and his father was a standout baseball player at Siena College, where my wife went to school.
So they got roots.
He was a coach at Chalmont High School, which is also in the Capital District, and won multiple state championships. And he finally gave up over after like 300 career wins there to follow the kids and watch them. And they got a younger brother, I guess, who's a swimmer too. So the Anderson clan is doing all
right. Pretty good. Well, I mean, listen, if one son gets a $4 million signing bonus, you can afford to maybe hang him up.
I wonder how the wiffle ball games are pitching-wise. Now, his brother's a pitcher, too.
I just imagine three boys that are that talented athletically.
And the poor little brother, he's like 7 years younger. Well, that kid must have gotten wailed on playing wiffle ball and baseball and stuff.
He was the one picking up after every single game.
Put the helmet on. Get in there.
Come on. They go practice their curveball. So yeah. Stay in there.
Just stay in there. You'll be all right.
You'll be fine. Put the hockey helmet on. No problem. That's good stuff. All right, John, thank you very much. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. Episode 55 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We're going to start hunkering down, doing our off-season research, get some guests lined up. We got some real interesting people.
Probably spread out a little bit further in our podcast.
But we're going to bring you some really interesting people from kings of the roto world to, you know, coaches in baseball right now, whether we catch
former
up with
Red Sox that you probably never heard of, but might have some bling.
We have one. We have like the Moonlight Graham of the 04 Red Sox that we've been working on, who happens to be a cop.
And Bobby Dickerson, he said he's going to join us again. Now he's on he's with the Phillies.
Philly
now.
Already.
Yeah. Already gone. And Bob Melvin is stepping in. There's a new era.
I think they needed a change. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously no one's pointing fingers at Bobby Dickerson, but I can't wait to hear the inside scoop on that implosion, because it's not quite 78 Red Sox, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to him. Maybe even catch up with Rico Bronya as well. So we'll talk to you next time here. Yeah, I mean, he spent the summer in the minors.
Yeah, coaching the Angels, like single-A team out in California.
3-4 months away from your family. You know, he doesn't have to do that. So it'll be really interesting to talk to him. So we'll see you next time, obviously. You can see us on YouTube. Listen to us wherever you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you to Odyssey for putting this on as well. We'll talk to you soon.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.